an hour of dinosaur talk for the 10th anniversary.
That's good. Howdy, it's Friday, November 21st, 2025, and this is episode 267 of Due for a Win, the Atlantic City and Casino Biz Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Askin, joined, as always, by Craig Stone. What's good, Craig?
What's good is that today...
Had to have the throwback entrance, I don't know if you...
Yeah, oh yeah, I like it. Yeah. The reason for the throwback entrance is because today, November 21st, is 10 years to the day since we recorded episode number one of Due for a Win, the Atlantic City and Casino Biz Podcast. If we really wanted to throw it back, I would have done the intro, and there would have been no howdy.
We need the howdy. It's what the people demand.
We need the howdy, and I think it would have been too jarring for everyone. People would have been like, what is this, 2015? And just ended the episode immediately. So today, we have a little bit of 10th anniversary content. One thing I want to bring up, though, is some episode one memories, because I was looking back to make sure that November 21st was the first day we recorded. And luckily, Google tracks everything that we do and everything that we talk about.
That's right.
And so I was able to find the conversations. One thing that stuck out, because we've been doing daytime recording for so long, is that we didn't start recording until almost 11 p.m.
No, I think the first few episodes were like that. We did very late starts because we'll talk about what I specifically had this day, but I also had a one-month-old, so I was doing the late shift with him, and he was usually taking his last bottle at like 10:30, and then was actually sleeping pretty well probably by the time we were a month in. But yeah, I was doing the late shift every night.
Among the messages were like, I don't think he's actually asleep yet. You know, this is at like 10:30 p.m.
Uh-huh.
Then we also had some technical difficulties trying to set up the recording and everything. So just ridiculous to look back at that. Also, late in the episode, at one point you messaged me saying, I probably need to wrap up in like 5 for work. Remember work, Kyle?
Yes.
Do you remember doing work at midnight?
That was in the bad old days before we automated our patching. So yeah, once a month I would log in and patch all of our production servers because I was the head operations guy. So I actually knew what to do to shut them down properly and boot them back up properly.
It felt like every time you had to do that was also a podcasting night, because it did seem like there were a lot of nights where you had a hard out.
Yeah, I mean, if we were podcasting on Saturday nights, it was Sunday morning that I was doing that. Yeah, Sunday morning starting at like 12:30 usually.
Man, what a different time that was.
Yeah, I mean, we automated that probably not long after we started that, but there was a lot of nervousness because if the system did not come up correctly, it would have been a real bad time.
You also messaged me shortly after that saying you needed to do something and that I should just keep talking while you were gone. So I think we went on another 20 to 30 minutes after you said you needed 5 minutes.
I used to do that a lot because it was before I understood how editing worked. So I couldn't stop you and be like, yo, I got to pee or whatever. I'd be like, just keep talking. I'll be back in like 3 minutes.
This was also when we had hour and 45 minute recording sessions, 2 hour sessions.
Yeah.
We would also like stay on after finishing for 30 minutes and wrap up at 1 a.m. I also messaged you after we finished, probably at 12:45 a.m. saying, hopefully I didn't talk for like 52 of the 68 minutes. So some things never change.
Yeah. So we actually talked about this before the episode, but we actually changed the podcast at like episode 20 to make it so that I was the lead in to try to even out the talking a little bit. I don't think it fully worked, but...
To at least give you like 20 words at the start of the episode before I take over.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things in going back in the middle of the night last night and looking through some of our old episodes and listening through some of our old episodes is I feel like I used to let you talk more. And now I just sit here waiting for my turn to talk and cut you off and jump in all the time. So
good.
Yeah, love that's it. Good. So I have a would you rather related to this that is a potential podcast ender 10 years into this thing. Are you ready?
Oh, I'm ready.
Would you rather keep podcasting for another 10 years, but it means you never get a single evening to yourself except for 4 to 5 Atlantic City trips each year, or quit the podcast right this second and you get 7 nights a year to go wherever you want solo? Right now, you're getting the best of both worlds.
Pretty much. It's actually, I haven't really been too many places solo this year because it's harder with my wife back at work. But, oh yeah, I mean, I would quit the podcast, I think.
Wow, I can't believe you said that.
Really?
Podcast over. That's unbelievable.
I can't believe that. I actually do not believe that you didn't expect me to say that.
No, I'm surprised.
Oh, really?
I thought you'd stick with AC.
Maybe I misread it. I assumed that it'd be 7 nights a year to go wherever I want solo and 4 to 5 AC trips each year if I quit.
No, no, no.
So I'm only getting 2 extra nights total for quitting.
Well, the 4 to 5 AC trips are probably more than 7 nights, right?
Because
that includes 2-night trips and stuff.
Okay, so...
it's probably around 7 nights.
So we'll say it's the same. It's just I get to choose where I go.
Right.
It's tough. What I would do is to keep podcasting until there's a trip I really wanted to do. Then I would quit.
That is maximizing your utility for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the smart thing to do. Like, there's not another way to play that.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. I'm doing the AC trips.
Uh-huh.
I don't mind just going to the same place over and over again. I've talked about this.
100%.
Which is funny because I feel like I'm more, I don't know how to phrase this.
Yeah. I'm curious.
I'm putting more effort into every episode, I think.
Oh, I mean, that's certainly true.
Every episode is more of a drain on my time and everything. So I would gain more by quitting the podcast than you would.
But you gain a lot more from the podcast, too, than me, I think. I mean, I enjoy doing it, but certainly I would not be doing this if I had to edit every episode and come up with an agenda and stuff.
So you think I get more out of it just by the evidence of putting in the effort into it?
You obviously do. Yeah, 100%.
So does it change your answer if in your 7 solo nights, if you quit the podcast, none of those nights can be Atlantic City? So you just never get to go to AC again either.
Yeah. I mean, AC is a place with great memories for me, obviously. And it's a place I do like a lot. But there's a lot of places in the world. And maybe I would regret it in 5 years if I never went to AC again. Would it be like the end of the world? Probably not. But
yeah, I mean, that's an interesting...
there would be regrets in 5 years, I think, if I did end up doing that. I'd be like, damn, I wish I could go to AC.
Yeah, I mean, I picked AC in podcasting. But... from your perspective, and even from my perspective, like my last trip was my 55th trip to Atlantic City.
Mm-hmm. And I've been more often than you have.
Right. So we've been to Atlantic City. You know, we've seen and done it. I certainly could see if you're someone who values traveling and values exploring new places, especially without your kids, which is the big benefit of the would you rather in this scenario of quitting the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I could see just saying like, look, I'm going to miss it, but I've done it a lot. But no, I'm still sticking with the AC. I'm still with you, listeners. I'm on your side.
All right. Yep. And I'm a traitor.
Yep. And I'll be replacing Kyle as the host for the next 10 years.
That's fine. If you want to do that, you can do that.
All right. So that's that. We have a 10th anniversary mailbag of sorts. I posted at about 6:30 p.m. last night. So I gave the people a solid 15 hours to come up with their questions. Asking for any questions about either the last 10 years of recording the podcast or the last 10 years of our experiences in Atlantic City. And the listeners came through with some good ones. So I'll read the questions from the mailbag. First, from Mike D on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I would like some stats. Casino most visited, restaurant most visited, most often ordered cocktail, and how many more times will Craig go to the Hook?
Do you want me to guess? Because I know you have receipts here.
Guess on your casino most visited.
In the last 10 years?
Yes, I did exclude pre-podcast.
My guess for myself, well, what's visited? Let me break it down into two separate things. I would guess my casino most visited in the last 10 years is either going to be Harrah's or Caesars/Bally's, because it's kind of one complex, especially when they were the same company.
Yeah.
My casino most stayed at, I would guess, is almost certainly Tropicana, because there was a several-year run in there where I was staying by myself at Trop every trip, and I was getting another room. This was before Trop was part of Caesars, at Caesars or Bally's for someone else to stay in.
I think it's Tropicana for you, for sure. In looking through my trip lists, my little spreadsheet of trips with how many nights and where we stayed, there were several trips where I was staying somewhere else and you were at Tropicana, and you had a room booked for someone else at Caesars.
At Caesars, yep. Which unfortunately went away when Tropicana became part of Caesars, because, you know, they know.
Yeah, so I was putting this together last night, and the really fascinating thing was I went in chronological order, so... seeing one thing jump out into the lead and then seeing something else really catch up. It's like, oh, all of a sudden I go from one night at this place to 8 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Was really funny. I was very surprised by the results, more from the places I have not stayed very often than the places I have stayed.
I would think that the places we haven't stayed that often are all the places that aren't Caesars properties or Tropicana, pretty much. I don't think any of them are even close to those four.
No, you'll be shocked for my answers. My number two is quite surprising. Do you care to guess what my number one most stayed at nights is in the last 10 years?
Harrah's?
No, not even close. Remember, Harrah's had that whole long thing where I wouldn't stay there because they took my $25.
That's true. You did have a several-year boycott of Harrah's. Caesars then, probably.
Caesars, yes. So I've stayed in Atlantic City 55 nights in the last 10 years, if my math is correct. Mm-hmm. Two of those nights were at Showboat. One of those nights was at Claridge, so I'm not including those because they're non-casino. Caesars, number one, 11 nights. Mm-hmm. Number two, quite shocking.
Resorts?
Ocean.
Oh, really?
With 9 nights.
That's very surprising.
Yes. And it was very clustered into one time. And I remember it was right before COVID. I had stayed at Ocean 3 trips in a row. And I remember walking down the boardwalk with my brother saying, I'm not sure I like coming to Atlantic City this often anymore. And then realizing, oh, it's just that I don't like staying at Ocean every trip.
Right. Well, your brother was always staying at Ocean because that's where he got comps, right?
Yeah.
Ocean or Borgata, I feel like, were the only two places he ever stayed.
Right. I actually feel better about Ocean now. I feel like it's more filled out and it's just a better place to be than it was pre-COVID. I mean, certainly doing better than it was pre-COVID.
I don't think I stayed at Ocean a whole lot.
No, a lot of these trips you were at somewhere other than Ocean.
Uh-huh. I think I've only stayed at Ocean maybe like 3 nights total.
I'd believe that.
Yeah.
I have Tropicana at 8 nights. Mm-hmm. Harrah's 6 nights with 3 or 4 of those coming in the last 12 months.
Well, the first podcast was about our 3-night trip, I feel like, to Harrah's.
It was 2 for me. I did include that trip in this. Mm-hmm. Hard Rock, 6 nights. I was very surprised by that. And it was all clustered in like a 2018 to 2022 period. And I'll talk more about Hard Rock in a minute.
Sure.
But I found that very fascinating. Resorts 5, Borgata 5. And I went a long time and I forgot about this. We had talked about this on the show early in the show. I had never stayed at Borgata for a very long time.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, no, it was into the podcast before I ever stayed at Borgata for the first time.
I mean, I know that we didn't stay there for quite a while because I know there was a while we were talking about where I'm like, it is the nicest basic room in Atlantic City. And we hadn't stayed there in a long time.
I think the first time I ever stayed there was almost 2 years into the podcast, 2017. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't stay there again until after COVID. So I had one Borgata night before COVID.
We used to talk about this a lot, but the first time I ever stayed at Golden Nugget was, I don't know, 2019 or something. I feel like it was very long into the podcast.
Golden Nugget, I've only stayed at one night. And then the most shocking thing, in the last 10 years, I've only stayed at Bally's one night.
That's not surprising to me at all. That's when the Bally's Tower, when we recorded in it, right?
Yes. Zorkfest.
When I took a day trip up, because I had a 1-month-old.
That's true. So that's our most visited.
Yeah, like I said, for me, I'm 95% sure that it's Tropicana for me, and I don't think that any other property is going to be super close to that. Probably Caesars or Harrah's in second.
I would guess Caesars for you, too, just because I've stayed there so frequently.
Yeah. And I would think that Harrah's would have to be third. All the other properties, I have not stayed at a whole lot.
All right. So Mike D also asks about restaurant most visited.
I have no idea, frankly. I mean, among nicer restaurants, I've been to Doc's 3 or 4 times in the last 10 years, which seems like a decent number.
From my notes, we have quite a few restaurants that we've been at 3 times, including Kwai and Doc's.
Yeah. I've been to quite a few times. Yeah, I went once to Doc's with my wife as well. So
in terms of nicer restaurants for you, it's probably Doc's. I think it's probably Doc's for me too. Doherty's, we've been to a few times if you count the happy hours.
Actually, it's not close for me. Number 1 and 2 are both Gilchrist.
Yes, so it is obviously Gilchrist, but we started out with nicer. Yes, Gilchrist by far, even if you split up the Tropicana and the Gardner's Basin Gilchrist.
Number 1 and number 2 are both Gilchrist for me.
The Gardner's Basin Gilchrist is certainly our number 1 restaurant by far.
And the Tropicana Gilchrist is probably number 2.
So then I'm fairly certain, if you don't count like going to Tennessee Avenue Beer Hall and getting a single beer, or going to Beer Garden and getting a beer, I think of those more as bars than restaurants.
Yeah, or like King's Pub / Piccalilli or Irish Pub or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think that's a restaurant necessarily.
Tony's Baltimore Grill, though. We've been at least 4 times, and I think I'm forgetting one.
I've only been 3 or 4 times. Where else have I been a bunch?
6, a bistro. Truly the number
Yeah, I think that's before the podcast times, unfortunately.
It is,
but
yeah.
Certainly, I've been there a lot, but pre-podcast. Or like the coffee shop at the Hilton, yeah. Bread and Butter, we've been to a bunch, too.
Oh, that's true. That is a good point.
Mm-hmm.
What is your most often ordered cocktail?
Rusty Nails at Borgata.
So
it's like 12, but all in one night.
I did make that note. Surely it's not my number one, but it's probably number two just because of the volume in a single night.
I mean, that night, I was up with you until like 3 in the morning when we went back to the rooms. But for me, that's like absolutely insane.
I have to say, we talked 2 episodes ago about how we don't ever drink that much, and yeah, it was really an outlier, but maybe it wasn't.
I didn't feel nearly as bad after that Borgata night as I did last time, but yeah, I mean, I was up much later that Borgata night for sure.
I think it's probably Manhattans for me, which I prefer old fashions, and I certainly will order an old fashioned at a bar, not on the casino floor because they're always terrible on the casino floor.
Uh-huh.
But a Manhattan, I think, is a little bit harder to mess up than an old-fashioned. So I probably use a Manhattan as my go-to. Also, when I'm at a bar and I'm just like, oh, I don't know, I'm paralyzed by my options, I just will say Manhattan. So that's probably my number one ordered cocktail in Atlantic City. His last question for stats is, how many more times will Craig go to the Hook?
It's hard to say with no end date or whatever, or even 10 years out. It's too much.
So I've gone twice.
Mm-hmm. I think you're good for 2 more in the next 5 years.
I agree. I'm definitely eager to go again. I really want to go again. I know they've changed a bunch of stuff. The host is different now. So I do want to go see it and see how it's different. But yeah, I would say 2 is probably a safe bet. And then he also asks for some best ofs. First off, best trip. What is your best Atlantic City trip? Do you have any idea?
No.
These are tough ones, I have to say.
For me, maybe that first trip for my, oh, I guess it wasn't my bachelor party, but my,
like your pre-baby party.
My pre-baby party. Anytime there's like 8 people together, that was a ton of gambling. That was, we did the slot golf
at Golden Nugget.
That was a really good trip. I mean, I feel like Kara's used to be a more pleasant place to be around back then as well than it is now.
Agreed.
Yeah, I'll put that down as the best trip. I mean, I think we just haven't really all gone anywhere so much the last 10 years like we used to. So, like, many of my best trips are pre-podcast, and the one we talked about in episode 1 probably is the best during podcast times, even though that's technically pre-podcast.
We had a pretty big group when we went and all ended up at Showboat and doing the racing at Showboat, and then we got all that free food and drink and stuff.
Oh, yeah, that was a decent-sized group. Yeah. No, that was pretty good.
Probably too much Showboat time for your liking.
Yeah. Too much ACE time or whatever.
Yeah, the ACE, the Atlantic City Eatery. So for me, gambling-wise, the first trip after the podcast started, which you can hear in episode 8, I hit the $2,500 Progressive Royal at Bally's.
Is that when you took me to Continental?
It is, yeah. So that's my best gambling trip by far. And I've never topped that. This is 9 years later.
Oh, my best gambling trip in AC is certainly the last one we went on.
Oh, really?
Well, actually, I don't know. We had a trip where I think you were there. My buddy Zach was there. I don't know who else was there. But I remember I was at Bally's playing video poker, $2 video poker or whatever, and I had a straight flush and a 4 of a kind right before I left as well, and I was up over $1,000 that trip. So that was probably better than last trip even.
So ignoring just the gambling winnings, because I feel like that's such an easy thing to say, and I don't really base whether my trip is great or not on the gambling. Although I will say, like, winning that big jackpot and then going out to dinner and just the rest of the trip not having to worry about, like, am I going to end up down this trip and knowing I had all this money in my pocket.
The only regret, well, I guess it's not a regret, is we could have seen the boxing that night. There was a big boxing match,
yeah.
And we were talking about it, and then, I don't know, you hit the jackpot, and we were like, eh, let's just go to dinner instead.
In retrospect, we didn't know that was, like, the last boxing match that would ever be in Atlantic City.
The last one in Boardwalk Hall. I know. We should have gone.
I also remember very fondly the next trip, which was probably my biggest losing trip in Atlantic City, because I went feeling like, hey, I won almost $2,000 last trip, so now I'm going to go do some stuff I wouldn't normally do. I think I played roulette, which I don't think I've done since. I played a bunch of random games and just threw what at that time felt like a lot of money, a bigger bankroll than I normally bring to Atlantic City. So that was a fun trip, even though the gambling went really bad. In terms of just not gambling at all, in September 2021, one that popped out at me was when you, me, and Paul went and we did Doherty's for the first time, the happy hour. We went to Rife. We went to Chelsea Pub and Inn. We got drinks at Cuba Libre, which I think was the time that they wouldn't let you in because of your Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, you and Paul got drinks at Cuba Libre. They banned me from entering. So
we went to Tennessee Avenue Beer Hall. We just did a ton of non-gambling stuff, and I thought it was really awesome.
Yeah.
That was episode 157.
What you need to do in the first half of next year is you and Paul should figure out some night that works for both of you, and then we can all go. because you guys have a much more constrained schedule than me.
That's true, definitely. And then June 2019 was another one that jumped out. That was one where I was at Hard Rock, you were at Tropicana, and you put Taylor in Bally's.
He was in the dentist tower. That I remember I walked into the room with him, and I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, but this is rough. But I was like, well, nothing I can do. I got to go to Trop. So, yeah.
I believe not just in the dentist tower, but like downstairs in the dentist tower. Like, you had to go down the steps?
I think it was on the second floor. I think it was on the floor that you had to leave the main walkway from the Caesars to the Bally's.
Yeah.
It was not a good room.
Going back to my most ordered drink, I was drinking Bullet Old Fashions at the Hard Rock Center Bar into the night, bopping along to the 80s cover band and everything. That was a great night, and really probably why I love that Center Bar so much. The funny thing, listening back to old trip reports, which I did last night, is that I loved Hard Rock from like 2018 to 2022. Every trip report, I was just effusive about my Hard Rock experience. And then, as we said, I don't remember if it was last episode or the episode before that, like I haven't really gone much since then. So fascinating how in love with it I was for a while and then just kind of stopped going.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think we talked a lot like about the arc of Hard Rock when it first opened and how my favorite place in AC by far was the Asia Room at Hard Rock and how pretty quickly I think it started going downhill after that. And it kind of culminated in the last time I was at Hard Rock, which is when I was there with a couple of my buddies. You were there too, but like Zach and Jeffrey were there and I'm like, yeah, we should go to play some Pai Gow or whatever in the Hard Rock Asia Room. It'll be a nice experience. And we played 2 or 3 hours there and literally not a single waitress came to the room that entire 2 hours that we were there. It's like this feeling of, oh no, I said we'd have a good time at this place.
Yeah.
We got zero drinks and
yeah, that sucks.
Embarrassment. And I'm like, never again. This place is terrible. I'm done with it. And it is just like so much worse than when it first opened.
Specifically, the Asia Room is so much worse than when it
first opened. Yeah. So much worse.
Worst trip. What do you got?
I mean, I think for me, and like you'll remember, and I feel a bit bad about this because I think your brother was pretty upset, but the COVID trip.
Yeah.
The trip we made, whatever, the 14th through the 16th of March 2020, when it was a bit questionable if we should go or not.
Yeah.
I just lost a ton of money the first night. And I ended up leaving a day early.
Did you leave while Paul was en route?
Yeah, he was driving up to DC. And I was just like, one, I've lost a ton of money. Two, I feel like I kind of shouldn't be here anyway, frankly, just because that was the COVID weekend when everything was shutting down and there was already a huge outbreak in New York City, which I'm frankly surprised that none of us got COVID that weekend.
We probably all already had COVID and just spread it that weekend.
Yeah, maybe. I do feel bad about that. Sorry, Paul. Yeah, that was obviously not a great trip.
My worst trip by far and quite easily was the trip where I just had, I don't know if it was food poisoning or a stomach flu or what.
When Han was there?
When, yeah, Eric and Han were there and we met them. And I feel like I just came out of the room for
like 5 minutes.
2 hours total.
Yeah.
Even had to switch rooms mid-trip. We were at Resorts the first night and Caesars the second night. And I tried to stick it out. That was just an awful trip. So that's a very easy one for me. This one I think is probably the hardest question, which is favorite podcast moment. I guess you can look at this in a few different ways.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is it your favorite thing that we said in the podcast or thing that happened in the podcast? Is it your favorite sort of thing related to the podcast? This is a tough one.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really have a singular moment. You know, I really enjoyed, all the times we talked with Eric on the podcast, I think were good episodes. I enjoyed talking to Dr. Dave on the podcast so many times as well. I think those were good. I think really the fact that, you know, we're still doing it is kind of the biggest positive podcast moment.
Even though you said you'd give it up in a heartbeat for 7 nights of kid free time.
That's right.
The first Dr. Dave episode of sort of feeling like, you know, we used to listen to this guy on the Vegas Gang podcast and he really knows his shit when it comes to Atlantic City and Vegas and is like a real professional in this area because he was writing books about this stuff was sort of a we made it kind of moment, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Another we made it moment, I'm pretty sure I was driving to Atlantic City. And on the drive there, I was listening to You Can Bet on That, and they mentioned that we were going to Atlantic City and meeting people in Atlantic City. And I think it was the first time they mentioned the podcast. And it was sort of this like, oh my goodness, this podcast we listened to has mentioned us. Like, this is a crazy moment. So that was really cool, especially being on the way to Atlantic City. And then all of a sudden, I was just really amped up for the trip.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of that when we first started. I think people were generally very nice. Like, You Can Bet on That shouted us out. I know Adam was very nice to us online. There weren't too many other podcasts that are still around, I feel like.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Vegas fanboy Adam, now on Handy at the Shandy podcast. He was the first person with any sort of following in the space that chatted us out on Twitter. And he pretty quickly, I think he was only like 4 episodes in when he mentioned that the podcast existed. And then a couple episodes later was like, this is really great. You guys should listen to it. So that was really cool.
I used to follow the Wizard of Vegas forums, and I think after our first or second episode, and we'll get to him in a second, but I think it was Ed who posted about our podcast there, and I just happened to see it randomly, and I was like, this is great.
As far as something that happened in the podcast, or we talked about on the podcast, episode 74 was our trip report from the dual openings of Hard Rock and Ocean, which both opened on the same day in 2018.
Yep.
Obviously, that was really cool from a podcast perspective, just going out of the way to go there and make sure we were there for that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
But specifically in that episode, something that I said, and I think you even agreed with me, was that we could see, based on seeing Hard Rock and how crowded it was and that it was on the boardwalk and the job they did redoing the Taj, we could see Hard Rock surpassing Borgata as Atlantic City's number one casino.
We joke about it now because Borgata's just doing so well, but I mean, it seemed like a couple of years ago that was still a possibility.
Yeah. In retrospect, like, it never really got that close. And I think we joked about it on the podcast a lot. So in terms of a moment that I think we reference the most or think about the most, that's probably mm-hmm. up there and maybe my highlight. And I'm not embarrassed by it at all. Like, I thought...
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think it was possible.
Craziest trip moment. And there have been quite a few, but I have one that jumps out.
I mean, the funny thing that you mentioned when we were there that day for the dual openings, that was the first of many times that my mom was also there at the same time, and we still haven't seen her in Atlantic City, so...
That's fantastic.
Yeah, most recently happened a few months ago, but...
I'm seeing some similarities between you and your mom, I have to say.
Yeah.
Do you have a craziest trip moment, good or bad?
I don't remember anything too crazy happening in Atlantic City, frankly. Overall, it was pretty crazy when I went to Macau. That was cool. One of the coolest things that happened to me was getting to be on a podcast with Hunter, also of Vegas Gang, talking about Macau. So,
yeah.
But Atlantic City? No, I don't remember anything too crazy happening.
Winning $2,500 at the squeeze game? Like 2 weeks ago?
Yeah. It was good.
The one thing that jumped out at me was when the dude riding his bike fell and dropped his stereo and then like followed us down the boardwalk yelling at us that we owed him $50 for his stereo. Not because we did anything that led to him falling off his bike, but because we turned around and looked at him and then a seagull like flapped in our face and we were like, ah, and like laughed about it. And he thought we were laughing at him and he was very upset about it. That interaction is weird, but it's not that crazy. You're going to have weird interactions like that.
In Atlantic City?
In cities. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I walk 1.7 miles each way to my office through Midtown Manhattan, and I feel like just every day there's something that I could tweet about. There's like, this city's just insane. So if you're in cities, like, insane stuff's going to happen. And it's part of why I love them. The crazier part was the next day, we're sitting
we
at
saw him.
Our number one restaurant, Gilchrist's Back Bay.
Gardner's Basin.
Gardner's Basin. And the garbage truck comes around, and who is on the back of that garbage truck but the guy who wants $50 for his stereo? And that was quite hilarious. So I think that's probably the craziest moment just in terms of a story arc.
That was pretty crazy. Yep.
Yeah. I can't really think of too much. It's not like we've seen any fights or anything or like...
Not really. Yeah. I've seen more fights in the casino at Horseshoe Baltimore than I have in Atlantic City, which is to say 1 and 0.
Yeah,
so
a crazy moment also when I went to Showboat with my family and it was just a line through the entire Showboat and took 2 hours to get into the water park. That, I think, qualifies.
That's good.
As quite a crazy moment. So that is the questions from Mike D. Thank you very much. Matt from Utah, who also has two more questions that have been sitting in our inbox for months, but we're not going to get to those today, so they will continue to sit. They're kind of evergreen questions, so that helps.
Mm-hmm.
So sorry, Matt. We'll get to those eventually, I promise. He says, after binging all the episodes a few months ago, I took notes. Here are my questions. Number one, do you guys bring gifts back every time for your wives and kids?
I don't think I've ever. I mean, I think this is more directed at you because there was a time where every time you were going home, you had to go to the Golden Nugget to get chocolate.
Yeah, or Steele's Fudge to get fudge.
Yeah, yeah.
Correct. I did do that for a very long time. I got told to stop.
Hmm?
Not because of the fudge and stuff, but because I was bringing back little trinkets for the kids or candy or a little stuffed animal. And my wife was like, they don't need to expect something every time you come home. You can stop doing that. So I did.
Yeah.
Which I think is a good point. It's a nice gesture, but also your kids don't need something every time you go away for a night, especially if you're quitting the podcast and getting 7 nights to yourself.
That's right.
And the next question, do you both have digestive issues? I think Craig's are pretty well announced on the show, but Kyle's are less so. I thought I've heard them mentioned in one episode.
I don't remember that.
I think you mentioned the tummy troubles because we were talking about...
Tummy troubles? How dragons eat tacos?
Yeah, dragons love tacos. A legendary children's book.
It is a good book.
But I don't think you've really mentioned any gastro issues.
I don't think I really have too many. Certainly, I've had the tummy troubles after I drink like 800 alcohols the night before. But I think that's not a digestive issue so much as alcohol poisoning.
Yeah, I mean, we have done however many hours of podcasts, so it probably has come up at some point.
No, I think my digestive tract is pretty solid. I've done a lot of international traveling and stuff and eat a lot of kind of questionable street food and things, and like I don't really get problems. So
yeah, I have a lot of acid reflux. I take prescription medicine for that, and I don't know if it is related to my other tummy troubles, but yeah, that's my thing. Actually, I will say, since I've started working out and watching what I eat much more seriously over the last 5 years, really, at this point, it's become way less. So, you know, big recommendation.
That's true.
Huge shout out to diet and exercise.
I will support you. And it used to, at the beginning, every trip you would have terrible gastro issues. Yeah. But also, I think from stress.
Yes, I was going to say. I'm a very stressed traveler, so that is part of it. Mm-hmm. What kind of music does Kyle actually like? He seems to roll his eyes at mentions of all the beach bands and concerts.
I don't know if that's... I mean, it's probably mostly true. I don't really like music so much. Like, certainly in my car, I would listen to podcasts and not music. Even in high school, I was like, yeah, I don't really understand music. I don't know. I like classic rock. Classic rock's good.
I don't really understand music is fascinating.
Yeah, no, I mean, I just took a while, but I do enjoy classic rock. I was into, like, hard rock, heavy metal for a while. Listened to lots and lots of Metallica, Tool, things like that. Yeah, anything with Maynard James Keenan is good.
Who would you be excited if somebody was like, they're doing a show at Ocean Ovation Hall in December, you have to go? Is there any band or artist that you would say yes to that?
No, I don't think so. I mean, not that would like realistically do it. If Metallica was doing a show somewhere, I'd like to see them before they stop touring, or like I said, anything with Maynard James Keenan in it. Yeah, I mean, I think not someone that would realistically come to AC.
Yeah, I think there are probably five or six bands where I would really feel like I wanted to go out of my way to see them. There are a lot of bands that I see that I was like, I would go see them if I was in town, that I'm not desperate to go out of my way to see.
Yeah, I mean, we've both mentioned that the right situation comes up, I'm interested in checking out Anchor Rock Club. Like, if it's just generic hard rock, I'm probably in for that.
Yeah, I would be in for that, too. Have you done the family trip to Vegas with a detour to the national parks in southern Utah? It seems like Kyle has a love of hiking.
No, I think we talked about this a few episodes ago, but I have not done it.
I would never do it because my family doesn't want to do that either. They don't want to go to Vegas and they don't want to go hiking, so that's not going to happen for us.
Last winter, we went to Phoenix, so we did some hiking and stuff out there, but it's not Vegas. So I don't know when the last time I mentioned on the podcast, but I lived in Phoenix for 2 years.
So we skipped in the agenda.
Let's not say we, yes. You, but go ahead.
So we mentioned legendary listener of all gambling podcasts, Ed, earlier, and he had a question for us. He started by saying so many podcasts have come and gone in your 10 years, which is absolutely true. Some have come and gone and then come and gone again.
That's right.
Two of them, at least at the top of my mind. His question is, was the Glenn Straub 10 Casino, which is Ocean now, was Revel, was the 10 Casino fiasco the biggest AC disappointment in your 10 years?
I don't know what could be a bigger disappointment than that. I mean, maybe just the whole Showboat situation.
Were your hopes for 10 that high, though?
Revel was such a nice casino. It was just pointlessly closed for so long. Like, I don't even fully understand the reasons still that it was closed for so long, other than just Glenn Straub doing Glenn Straub things. You know, say what you will, he was able to acquire the power company, which was an important step to getting that property back on his feet. Yeah, I think it's probably was the biggest disappointment. And it's easy to look back on it now and be like, well, it was only a couple of years that whole fiasco was going on. And it's like doing gangbusters now.
Right.
So it's easy to look at it and be like, well, maybe Showboat's worse because it's still whatever the Showboat disaster is right now. But I think given the fact that Showboat was never a great place to start with, as much as we love it. Yeah, it was probably the biggest disappointment.
So the closings of Showboat and Revel happened before we started the podcast. They were in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
So they are not included. Otherwise, I probably would have said Showboat closing because it was a profitable casino and we had sort of made it our home base a little bit before that. You said it's easy to look back and say like it was only a couple of years. That's what I did. I looked back and said, yeah, it was only a couple of years. It's a casino now. It's actually a nice casino now. So I feel like it can't be as big a disappointment as some other things. Although when I tried to think of what my biggest disappointment was on a personal level, we've joked about it many, many times on the podcast. T Street.
Oh,
because I was so excited for that.
Frankly, now that you mentioned that, whatever the situation is with the pier is deeply, deeply disappointing too. There's no reason for that to be the way it is now either. Is it a bigger disappointment than the 10 situation? I don't know. it feels the same as the 10 situation was, where it's like, this is like a perfectly nice place. There is no reason it shouldn't be successful. It just feels like an absence of imagination.
I mean, the thing that locals keep bringing up is that it costs $25 to park if you want to go for like a dinner, right?
You need to just...
They can solve for that.
Work with Caesars and get it so that if you buy something from a shop or eat dinner there, that you get a voucher and then there's no more problem.
I mean, I don't know that Caesars is willing to play ball on that.
Well, maybe, but maybe Bally's can play ball then. I mean, like, it doesn't matter, you know?
That's a good point. I mean, I was so excited about T Street. Another one that just popped into my head was Cereal Town, because I really wanted... I mean, that's obviously on a super micro level, because it was like the size of, you know, a bathroom, but...
Prince of Monaco cereal.
Yeah. I think from a city perspective, the Atlantic Club and its repeated failure to sell is disappointing, less surprising.
It's not on the same level as these other ones, I think. Much like Showboat, it was pretty old and beat up.
Yeah.
By the time it closed, so it's not totally shocking that it's still just sitting there.
Another one that I think is very disappointing, not in terms of really anybody's experience in Atlantic City, but just in terms of what it indicates for Atlantic City, is the Toll Brothers development on the boardwalk that they built and has been mostly vacant the entire time. It was dead center on the boardwalk next to Boardwalk Hall.
Now has a tenant, right?
It does have a tenant. It's another one of those like t-shirt shops, right?
It's like a head shop, yeah.
So I think that just opening, and we were like, it's going to be a brewery. It's going to be like, we had big ideas. And then it was like, it's going to be an arcade that's not actually open. That was disappointing. So 10 is probably the correct answer, but I wanted to throw some other ones out there too.
Yeah.
And then our last question that we got was, or at least the one we're wrapping up with, I think it was actually the first question we got, was from Instant Classic on Twitter. I guess it's X now. Congratulations on 10 years. I listen to a lot of Vegas and gambling podcasts, and the AC slander is crazy on them. What are your thoughts when one of those podcasts crap on AC? And when you interact with these hosts, do you try to convince them otherwise?
I mean, I've gone on record to say that AC's not for everyone. If you want a super touristy Vegas experience with like the fountains and the, I don't know, I guess not the volcano anymore, but walking through the conservatory at the Bellagio. And, you know, there's nothing really like that in Atlantic City. And I could understand why people would want to bring a family to Vegas. And like, unless you really know what you're doing, I wouldn't necessarily recommend that for Atlantic City, though I've certainly done it and you've done it as well. But so no, I don't feel like it's absolutely slanderous. I mean, I think AC is perfectly nice. And a lot of the problems that AC has compared to other places you can go, we've mentioned on the podcast, is that it is a city, but Vegas is a city too. And I don't think that you're necessarily way more unsafe in AC than you are in Vegas. So I don't fully understand some of the complaints.
Yeah, I agree.
But no, I understand why AC is not for everyone. It's much more gambling heavy. There's a lot less other stuff to do.
Yeah, I get frustrated when people just say, like, oh, AC's a shithole without any real explanation.
Well, a lot of times, I think the people that say it, too, have never been there or haven't been there in 10 years.
Yeah, haven't been there since 2014 or something when everything was closed.
When everything was bad, yeah. So I was just telling Table James Games and Tim from A Better Life at National Harbor this weekend that Atlantic City was, like, really a very different place in, you know, 2010, 2011, 2012, when we first started going together. It was so easy to get a comp just because it was an absolute ghost town, because it got absolutely slammed by the Great Recession or whatever in a way that I don't think Vegas was impacted nearly as much.
People do still talk about how easy the comps were in Vegas then.
But in AC, it was insane.
Yeah, go gamble with $100 and then you're getting comp rooms everywhere. And I think people still give this bad advice based on 2008, 9, 10 of like, oh, if you go and put $100 through a slot machine in Vegas and get a player's card, like you're going to get comps, like you have a new player phenomenon and all that stuff. That's not really true anymore. I definitely agree. There's just so much more outside of the casino to do. There's just more good restaurants and bars outside of the casino if you know where to look. What I'll say, though, is I do get frustrated when people just sort of shit on AC and don't have any receipts to back it up. I don't mind at all if people have receipts, because there are certainly issues with the city. I don't begrudge that at all. I get a little bit frustrated with people who just say like, oh, you can't go anywhere off the boardwalk because it's terrible, which is A, not entirely true.
It's not true.
But yeah. Also, there are parts of Vegas, if you walk north of Wynn.
I've walked from the Strip to the Hilton plenty of times at like 4 a.m. in Vegas, and that is a very dicey walk from the Riv to Hilton, right down that road.
Not to get into a whole AC Vegas fight. And what I'll say is I actually get more frustrated with commenters who do it than podcasters, because podcasters typically have a reason. They're here to talk and they're going to talk it out. They're not just going to say like, oh, AC sucks. Perfect example, Handy at the Shandy. They jokingly bleeped out Atlantic City in the first few episodes, and they had a whole conversation about it that I thought was totally reasonable, where Boring Jack said there's just not another S-tier gambling destination for the entire country that Vegas is. So for their audience, it doesn't make sense to talk about Atlantic City. And I agree 100%. I'm not trying to say AC is Vegas of the East.
Yeah. I mean, just to push back a little bit on that, I didn't listen to the episode, so you'll have to explain the reasoning, but is Vegas an S-tier gambling destination? Is it? The gambling's better in Atlantic City, I think. Like, it's an S-tier destination as a whole, maybe, in a way that Atlantic City's not, but the gambling, I think, is just better in Atlantic City.
Right, but I mean in terms of people who are going to go out of their way to go to a casino town.
Sure. Yeah.
So his point was basically from an audience perspective, you have much less audience doing what we're doing, talking about Atlantic City.
Oh, yeah, of course. And he's right. Of course. Yeah, 100%.
Actually, to answer the second part of the question, I never feel the need to convince people otherwise. I find myself actually being nervous to defend it because I don't want somebody to go and then be like, you said it was great and it turned out it sucks. That makes me nervous. So I try not to really go in hard for Atlantic City because...
No. Yeah.
And it's built for gamblers, too. So if you are somebody who's not a big gambler, like I'll have friends who say, oh, I don't really listen to your podcast. I should check it out. And I'm sort of like, meh, what are you going to get out of it? I don't know. If you're not going to Atlantic City or eager to go to Atlantic City. Although we have had people say that we've convinced them to go to Atlantic City.
You weren't a gambler. And
that's true.
We convinced you to go to Atlantic City somehow.
And now I love it. And I'm still not a gambler, so.
Right.
I was looking back, actually, through all the trip reports, and I bring less money now than I did, certainly pre-COVID. Pre-COVID was when I was bringing the most, and even then, it was not that much. But it's funny to see that I'm from maybe like 2012 to now, my budget for gambling is about the same.
Mine's gone up.
Any other thoughts on 10 years? I love the questions, by the way. Thanks for the content, listeners.
Yeah, we always appreciate you guys giving us content. No, I don't have any other thoughts. It's cool that we're still doing it. I don't know what I would have thought when we started. I mean, it's so hard to know before you really get started. But making it 10 years is good. It's an accomplishment. I mean, I think a lot of it's you. You know, as we've said, I don't really do anything for the podcast. I show up.
Yeah, I feel bad that it's been taking so long between every episode recently.
Well, let me ask one question about how you see the future. My situation is not totally normal. I've had an abnormal path the last few years. But in general, as my kids have gotten older, I feel like things have gotten easier and easier for me. And it seems like you've gone the completely opposite direction, that things are harder and harder for you as your kids get older. Like, how do you see the next few years going and like your availability? And
part of it's that my job is just insane.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it also, yes. I mean, my kids are in so many extracurricular activities that there's never really a night that's not taken up by that. And I think it's only going to get significantly worse because my son's made multiple travel sports teams. So we'll see what happens with that in the spring. But yeah, I mean, just trying to find time to edit and do all this stuff is really hard. And I end up doing it in the middle of the night. And I used to really be like, okay, I'm just going to plow through this. If I got to do it until 1:30 in the morning, I'm going to do that. And I've been less and less willing to push that.
You shouldn't do that.
I can't imagine it ending. It's just, I hope that I can get to a point where it's not 7 or 8 days between recording and posting every time. That is more difficult because it just feels like it never ends because, like, I posted the last episode on Tuesday, I think, of this week, and now we're recording again on Friday.
Well, we're recording a little early because of Thanksgiving, but yes.
Yeah, that's true.
I think the Cliff Notes version of what you've said is that you do not foresee it getting any less crazy anytime soon.
No, absolutely not. No.
Yeah.
We have a couple of news things that we should plow through super quick.
Mm-hmm. So the Anchor Rock Club has announced a punk rock flea market coming Sunday, February 1st from noon to 6 p.m. Do you want to talk about it a little bit?
Sure. It is a punk rock flea market with records, oddities, vintage clothing, crafts, antiques, upcycled goods. I don't even know what that means. I found this sort of interesting just because it seems like it's up my alley in terms of stuff that I would find fascinating. It's $10 entry. It says there's beer, drink specials, coffee, baked goods, snacks, boba, and vibes. Would you say vibes over value? I don't know. I don't know what $10 gets you. February 1st, I mean, I can't imagine I would actually go, but I thought it was kind of a cool little thing that popped up. Anchor Rock Club is just always doing concerts and interesting events. I would really like to go to something there. It just,
yeah.
We tend to go Sunday night, Monday night when they're not having stuff because they're having stuff Friday night, Saturday night.
Yeah.
I doubt that I'm going to make it, but if somehow we ended up there, I would definitely go check it out and spend $10 and probably buy stuff I don't need.
Perfect.
What I wonder is it like real punk rock?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because I don't like that. I want pop punk. Give me pop punk with breakdowns. Fall Out Boy all day, every day.
You and Dave?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
It's like Dave's favorite band in 2005.
My favorite band still to this day in 2025.
There we go.
That's not true. But, you know, I asked you if any bands came to Atlantic City. If Fall Out Boy was playing Boardwalk Hall,
you and Dave would be there?
I would probably have to make that happen. I mean, certainly not on the level of Coheed. Like, Coheed is number one. I would absolutely go out of my way to go to Atlantic City if they ever played in Atlantic City. I don't think they ever have. They've done Asbury Park. Anyways, that's the Anchor Rock Club thing. Let us know if you're going to the punk rock flea market in February, listeners. This is a lot of lead time for the punk rock flea market.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of lead time.
3 months of notice for that.
Well, here you are announcing that, so everyone will know. Everyone will be there, surely. And you sent me an article this morning and told me I had to read it about dinosaurs coming to Showboat. So this is from Gothamist, from Ryan Cost. Showboat Atlantic City has purchased all 31 life-size dinosaurs currently on display from a North Jersey dinosaur park, I guess, and plans to build a dino-themed attraction next to the resort slated to open in spring 2026.
Yes, the North Jersey thing is called Field Station Dinosaurs in Leonia.
We don't know where that is.
Yeah, I don't know where Leonia is either. But
you're supposed to be our North Jersey expert.
I remember this being advertised on NJ Transit trains a lot. 10 years ago, probably. I think it said in the Gothamist article that it lasted for 14 years. And I actually learned about this not from this article. I learned about this because people were posting in the other Atlantic City groups pictures of dinosaurs on truck trailers going down the turnpike and stuff. And then somebody said, this is going to Showboat, which is just crazy. So I found this article. My first reaction, this poor, naive little boy that I am, was like, wow, this is such an interesting thing that they're doing at Showboat. And then as I read more, the reality set in, which I believe you were much quicker to this than I was. So what was your reaction when you saw this article?
I mean, my first reaction when I read the article was, this is just Showboat's absolute sweet spot.
Yeah.
Buying all these discount dinosaurs to come up with some half-baked idea that's going to be undoubtedly open for like 4 months.
Yes.
You know, it sounds like from the prices, maybe they spent $15,000 and bought them all. That's just Showboat's preferred amount of money to any capital improvements to the Showboat, I feel like. And nothing could be more Showboat than this.
I mentioned T Street earlier.
So tell me, Craig, is there a certain connecting tissue between T Street and Showboat?
Yeah, so Bart Blatstein.
Oh, really? Owned, wow. Surprising.
Owned the playground at that time. One of the things that really struck me about T Street was they just reused signs from the existing restaurants. Like, basically, they just found shit in storage and put it up, right? And that effectively is what they're doing here. And in reading through this article, the thing that immediately turned my brain from, this is cool, this is going to look so interesting, they're doing this big thing at Showboat, to realizing that this is just another on-the-cheap project, is the words Facebook Marketplace. So, a quote in the article, about a month ago, the park listed its dinosaurs on Facebook Marketplace, and at this point, my heart just sinks. A feathered velociraptor was listed for $700. While a bucking green and orange Hadrosaurus was going for $2,450. Yeah, so these are not high priced items, man.
Mm-hmm.
Realistically, I could have bought the Velociraptor for less than a trip's gambling budget, right? Like, this is insane. So it makes me worried, honestly, about how it's going to be managed, how well it's going to be run. Animatronics and stuff is like hard upkeep, man. They need to be on this, and I do not trust them to do it.
Nothing is well managed or maintained there, right? Every time you go to like the classic pinball area, half of them are broken. And
pinball also takes a lot of maintenance, man.
I know you're still a Showboat lover and Lucky Snake lover, but
yeah, I mean, I hope that this is cool. I would say don't have high hopes. All right, do you want to quickly do October revenue? We're already at a pretty long episode here, but I think we can knock
sure.
it out.
We can fly through it. Yeah, so October, very good month, up 12.5% year over year.
12.5%. That's quite good.
Perhaps even more crazy, up month over month from September, which you would just never expect to see. Usually it looks like it's down 10% or more. So yeah, just absolutely crazy. Every casino is up except for Bally's, which is down 1%, and Trop, which is down 9%. I did not compile this. I cannot tell you anything about the luck, but Borgata was up 28% and Ocean was up 20%. And then both Harrah's and Nugget were up 11%.
Before we have to issue a correction next episode, let me clarify. You say that Ocean was up 20%. They were up 19.99%.
Well, thank you.
But yeah, 7 out of 9 casinos up, 12.5%. So it is a 5 Friday month, which normally we'd say a full 5 weekend month is like, I don't know, 6, 7, 8%.
6 or 7. Yeah, that's right.
This is 12.5%. This is a great month. seeing multiple casinos 10% or more. Golden Nugget, I mean, I sort of discount Golden Nugget because their September was a disaster, 9.9 million, like not even hit 10 million in September. It's just wild. Normally that's reserved for January, February kind of numbers. So them being up 10.8% and still having $10.7 million is pretty bad. But like Borgata, to have a $68 million month in the fall is nuts. For Hard Rock to have $42 million in the fall, for Ocean, $39.5 million. Those are great, great numbers. Also, one thing I'll say is, Ocean keeps increasing at a faster rate than Hard Rock, and it seems to me like they are going to be right on par with each other soon.
Ocean goes up 20% every month.
It's nuts. It's wild. They do so well.
40% last month. So, yeah, I don't know. They're doing something there.
I mean, I know they have had months where they've jumped Hard Rock very briefly, but
I'll have to stay at the Ocean on December 8th.
You haven't stayed there in a very long time.
Check it out. See what it's all about.
Except that you need to status match at Hard Rock, right?
Yeah, I mean, whatever.
But yeah, great month. Any other thoughts on the data?
No, not really. Great month.
10th anniversary is all about very short data. For the next 10 years, short data segments.
Yep, perfect.
I can't guarantee that at all.
Anyway, if you want to reach out to us or any of our other listeners, you can do so at our Facebook group, facebook.com/group/doforawin. Find all of our great content at doforawin.com, but not buy a shirt. Reach out to Craig on Twitter at doforawin or me at Kyle Laskin, and send Craig questions to doforawin@gmail.com. And this used to be printed on the agenda every week, and I ignored it, and eventually Craig took it off. But if you enjoy the podcast, giving us 5 stars, that could be good if you haven't done it.
Yeah, you should. You should go give us 5 stars.
I mean, it's been like 5 years since I brought this up, but yes, we want 5 stars. We don't want 1 star. We don't want due for a refund. 5 stars, please.
Exactly. Go congratulate us on 10 years by giving us a 5-star review.
Indeed.
Congratulations to you on 10 years, Kyle.
I mean, I've worked so hard on this podcast, and it just feels like finally I've reached what I've been hoping for.
I can see that.
I mean, I used to work hard. You know, I'd have to watch goddamn Boardwalk Empire for an hour right before every podcast. That was the hardest work I've had to do for the podcast.
We really messed that up by making it homework for ourselves. You know, we would be like messaging each other 45 minutes before we were supposed to record, being like, did you watch Boardwalk Empire yet?
I mean, I would watch it literally right before every episode.
That is how that happens. That was during COVID, though. Like, everything was closed. What were we going to talk about?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing.
State takeover.
I don't know. How do you rate that show? A lot of people say it's one of the greatest shows of all time. I thought it was 7 out of 10.
I agree. I actually think I like it more in retrospect, like as I sort of think about the Nucky character and his wife and stuff like that. I think that dynamic is really good, and there were things about it that were really good. But
it's nice that they killed the main character after season 2. That was like a fun twist.
It did really go off the rails, I thought, later in the series. But the whole season with the one crazy dude.
Yeah, you hated that man.
Bobby Cannavale's character, that sucked. That whole season sucked. I think that was season 3, but that's it. 10 years.
All right, that's it. We're done.
We'll see you in 2 or 3 weeks.
We'll see you in 10 more years.
So yeah, episode 268 is going to be 10 years, November 21st, 2035.
Perfect. All right. Well, thank you guys, as always, very much for listening. And have a nice Thanksgiving holiday for the Americans and, you know, a nice week for everyone else. Because I had a 1-month-old.
Georgina's losing her mind.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she's like, you got to go to Bally's.
Yeah. Spend more time at Bally's.